It's interesting to me to see through the years on Christmas Day how people try to answer what is happening here in the celebration of Christmas. And sure enough, this morning's paper is filled with meditations on the season's religious meetings, people trying to figure out what's happening. Here's one where the author says that the stories that are told to us about his coming are a collection of befuddled judgments and decisions that reveal the fogginess of life and the uncertainty of human judgment. Here's another article by a Jewish rabbi who says there are many paths to God's house this holiday season. Well, pardon?
That was a rabbi?
Yes. And it just reveals the difference between believers and unbelievers. Unbelievers cannot see, cannot hear, cannot understand what's happened. And it reminds me of the importance of the authority for what we believe. What do you believe about Christ? What do you believe about being a Christian? What do you believe about being forgiven? What do you believe about heaven? What do you believe about eternal life? I remember being in a citywide meeting in Sacramento where there was a gathering of all the clergy of the city, and a man gave a speech. And when he was through, I went up to him and said, "What is your authority for what you believe?" And he said, "My experience." Now, that is a great problem because we don't all have the same experience. Is there one central foundation for our authority? There is, and it's the Bible. And the Bible alone, not the Bible and something else, not the Bible and another book, but the Bible alone. So this day is very important for us to zero in on what we really believe so that we don't miss out on the forgiveness of sin and the gift of eternal life. And I thought it would be important for us this morning go right to Luke 2, which we read a part of, which gives us the record of the actual event. Now, we have been using some Christmas passages where we investigated who is Jesus and found that the Bible declares that he is God, the Son of God. We then learned what he did, is that he is the Lord of salvation, and he gives salvation to whom he wills. Salvation is not just random. It's determined by God himself, who wills to save his elect. Now this morning we're going to come to the actual event. Did it happen? Is this just a myth? Is it just legend? Is it just something dreamed up by humans? So we come to the authoritative Word of God, and in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, we have the event described. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus, that all the world should be registered. This sentence first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. He went to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There is the biblical description of the actual event. Our faith is based on reality. Certain events that occurred around our Lord Jesus Christ. This is literal, it is historical, and this morning we're celebrating 2,000 years later this event that took place in Bethlehem. And we know that this is called the virgin birth. The supernatural birth. And the angel announced to Mary in Luke 1, she was going to bear a son. And she said, how can it be? I haven't been with a man. And the angel said, the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. That is, he is going to bring about the conception. In Matthew chapter 1, the angel comes to Joseph and said, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brought about a miraculous conception, and Mary is pregnant. And it is a supernatural pregnancy that God brought about. But it is also a natural birth. Read the words here. She brought forth her firstborn son, and the days were there that she should be delivered. And there was an actual birth. And the women know what this means, that there are contractions, that there are labor pains, and that there is a bringing forth out of your body a life. In some sense, that's not natural. That is supernatural. Isn't it supernatural that two human beings can produce life this way? But for God to do it through one is even more supernatural. But God has several ways of creating life. God created Adam when there was no other human. No help from anybody. God did it. So for we who believe, there is no problem for us accepting the supernatural virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and just believing it as it's written here. Joseph and Mary came from Nazareth, went to Bethlehem, because Caesar, the Roman Emperor, declared they had to be registered, and it's a long, hard trip, and there they are, and they come to this city of Bethlehem. Well, it's not a city, it's a little village. And if it was recorded today, it wouldn't even be on the map. Now imagine someone trying to declare where the President of the United States would be born, say, 50 years from now. Micah, the prophet, 500 years before this, prophesied that Christ would be born in Bethlehem, a small, secluded village, and he's absolutely accurate. And here we have the record of this birth in great details. It tells us when it was. was when Quirinius was governing Syria. And we know the reason Joseph went to Bethlehem was to be registered in a census so they could be taxed. And so here we are with faith in the real, literal, historical event of Jesus our Lord. John says, the Word became flesh. This is the awesome wisdom of God. What is God's plan for bringing salvation to sinning, rebellious, evil human beings? How's he going to do that? He himself is going to become human to be the Savior, to go to the cross, to pay for the sin. Here it is. He's here. God is here. What an awesome thing to reveal the power and wisdom of God. Can you believe it this morning? Will you believe it? The world will not. The unbelieving world will not believe it. Can you believe it? If you can, it's because God has graced you where he hasn't graced other people. He has given you the ability to believe. He has caused you to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. That is the awesome thing this morning, why we can celebrate in reality. So in verses 1 to 7, we have the event described. In verses 8 to 14, we have the explanation declared. We read this with Darren about the shepherds in the field, the angel of the Lord coming to them, and they don't understand and they're in fear, verses 10 and 11. Here's the explanation. Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Here is the fulfillment of all the years from Genesis 1 all through Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and David, and all that history pointing to this one time when the Savior would be born. And here he is. Who is this babe wrapped in linen cloth, lying in a manger in Bethlehem? This is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And he is the Savior because he has no sin nature. God created Adam. Adam sinned and took on a sin nature. Cain had a sin nature. Abel had a sin nature. Seth had a sin nature. Every human being since that time has a sin nature. The sin nature is transmitted through the male. And the only problem young people have is that they got the sin nature of their father. The only problem that comes is through this sin nature. Now God so arranged it that Jesus, the human, did not have a sin nature because he did not have a human father. Therefore, he can live a sinless life. Never in one moment, all the years that he was here, did he have any sin, either in thought or in action. Now that is so remarkable. No sin nature, sinless life, so he is able to render a perfect sacrifice in which we can trust fully that his offering to God of his life is an adequate payment for all of our sin, takes away all of our sin, past, present, and future, and gives us relationship with God that can never come about any other way. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must believe or be saved. So here is the description and the explanation of this event. What is happening? It is God with us. There's born, actually, literally, this day in Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ, the Lord, and he is the only Savior. No one else can even come close to qualifying as the Savior. The Savior must be sinless. I talked to a lady the other day who is a Buddhist, and I said, "Where is Buddha?" Well, we both agreed he's dead. I said, "Where is Jesus Christ?" And I had to tell her, he's alive. He's the living Savior and the only Savior. The wisdom and power of God declared here. Prophecies fulfilled. The announcements are over. It is done. It is here. Now this passage not only gives us the event described, the explanation given, but the experience revealed in verses 15 to 20 of what happened to these shepherds who became inquisitive and curious and said, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see that which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." Now this is interesting. They're out there at night, and it's cold, they're watching, guarding their sheep. An angel appears. They understand it's an angel. Then a host of angels come singing, and they know something's going on. And they're saying, "Let's go see what the Lord made known to us." They accepted the angels as the Lord's messengers, and this was the Lord telling them, and they came and they found it as the angels had said, the babe is lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they broadcast, they made known widely what they had seen and heard. Mary kept these things in her heart. Then the angels returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told. What is the response? What is the experience to Luke chapter 2, 1 through 14? It is to worship. It is to praise. It is to go and tell. Come and see and go and tell. That's the Christian experience. Have you really come to see? Have you taken the time to really, really, truly investigate who it is we're talking about? Is he the Lord to you? Have you seen him with spiritual eyes? This morning, do you hear his words with spiritual ears? And are you going to tell who he is? That's the experience revealed here. The shepherds came worshiping, glorifying with great joy. You know, it's right that we celebrate Christmas. And I know there's a great deal of negative things about the commercialism and all that's taking place. And yet, the true celebration of worship and families together and gifts and what, this is right. This should be celebrated. There's a verse in Nehemiah that says this. It was after Nehemiah comes back, rebuilds the walls of Jerusalem, and a great thing has happened. And the Bible verse in 8:10 says, come and eat choice food and drink sweet drinks and give to those who have not. A celebration. And it's right that we celebrate and we have the joy of the Lord, and we know what has happened here, and we have assurance in our hearts that our faith is in what is solid and real. Do you know that there is no other religion in the world, or ever has been, that gives assurance? Even among some Christians, there is no assurance. They don't know from day to day whether they will be forgiven or be in heaven, because they're depending upon their own conduct and behavior and performance. And we, in the sovereign grace truth of God, believe that it is in the performance of Christ and Christ alone we have assurance. We are the only ones who can really sing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. What a glorious, glorious thing to be able to do this morning. John said, these things are written that you may know, really know, with full assurance in the forgiveness of sin and the gift of eternal life, because I believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it is nothing to do with me, whether I think I'm good or bad. It's in what He does, and He alone. What a marvelous passage of Scripture that gives us the description of the event and the declaration. And the way to experience it is to come and see who He is. Rejoice in celebration and go and tell. Perhaps 2001 can take on new meaning for all of us as we begin to tell. Go and tell. What an awful thing it is to face the fact of being separated from God forever. In hell forever. Forever. Eternal torment. That is an awful thing. And you and I are the ones who have the message that will deliver them from this destiny. Come and see, and go and tell. Now may the Lord bless this passage of Scripture to our hearts this morning and give us a great Christmas celebration today and tomorrow. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the truth. Thank You that You have graced us to believe the truth. And we ask You now to impress upon our hearts the importance of believing what You have taught us. Use this passage of Scripture this morning to enlighten our hearts and to give us great reason for celebration and love for each other this day and the days to come. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus, our Lord. In His name, amen.